Thompson Guitars makes handcrafted instruments in Oregon and is a proud sponsor of the Travis Book Happy Hour. Their guitars are built with select tone woods, including Brazilian rosewood. Go to pktguitars.com for more information about their different models and appointments available from their custom shop. Hey, Happy Hour listeners. Elevate your festival look with Sunhye Shades. Whether you're dancing to your favorite bands or kicking back to soak up some rays, Sunhye sunglasses are your sidekick for any adventure. And for a limited time, you can get 20% off your order using code HAPPYHOUR. Get your new go-to faves today at sunheist.com. That's SUNHEIST.com.
Music, for me, it like saved my life. So every time I'm able to like create and to be here performing and connecting and community and writing music, you know, it's it's a joyous experience. You know, it's hopeful. It's healing for me, and I think for everybody in Danger Muffin. And we've connected with so many people over the years that, you know, I think. Maybe I'm on a tangent, but you know, maybe the most important, the highest calling of an artist is to help people heal.
Welcome to the Travis Book Happy Hour podcast. I'm Travis Book. This episode is brought to you by Thompson Guitars, makers of fine instruments, handmade with love in Sisters, Oregon. The podcast is presented by Americana Vibes and The Bluegrass Situation, and our show is part of the Bluegrass Situation Podcast Network. You can dive into all things roots music anytime at thebluegrasssituation.com. Danger Muffin's Dan Lotti writes songs and sings them in a way that makes me feel like everything is going to be just fine. Originally from Folly Beach, much of the band now makes their home in Asheville, but their music retains the laid-back beach vibe of its roots on the Carolina coast. Positive, inquisitive, conscious, and grateful, Dan Lotti is the kind of guy you wish would call you up to have a pint or take a walk in the woods. He'd probably make an amazing neighbor, too. He's been at the top of my list since I launched this whole happy hour thing, and it was great to finally get to spend the afternoon with this incredible human. This episode was recorded live at 185 King Street in Brevard, North Carolina on September 10th, 2024.
King Street, the backyard of Brevard, North Carolina. It's the Travis Book Happy Hour. Brought to you by Americana Vibes and the Bluegrass Situation. Tonight with special guest Dan Lotti. And the Happy Hour House Band featuring Danger Muffin's Mike Savilli and Andrew Hendricks. Now, your host and mine, Mr. Travis Book.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, thank you all so much. Thank you, Bill. So glad to finally have Dan down here. I've been talking to him about this for a very long time. He's been at the top of my list since I wrote the list.
Great to be here, Travis.
I'm so
great
glad you're here. So away we go. Let's play some music.
Song called Waves. Thank you. luscious forests. Andrew Hendricks over here, everybody. So we put out a new record last month. It's the first one we put out in 7 years. So it's good to be back. We're going to play you the first song off of that album. It's called We Push Mountains. Never played it acoustic before, so here we go.
thanks, Dan, for coming, and thanks for bringing most of the band.
It was pretty easy. They were like, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, the happy hour, I can only really like interview one person at a time, and it's supposed to feature an individual, but really, it would not be the same if it wasn't most of Danger Muffin. And it's so good to have the entire band here, because I know it's a band vibe. And I'd like to send my condolences to my dear friend Steven Sandifer, who is usually the fourth person in the band, but he got the axe tonight.
He may have lost his job.
I'm always looking for gigs, man.
Totally kidding. So we've had some good, Danger Muffin has had some love on Spotify lately, which is, you know, double-edged sword. Some musicians, artists hate it, but we like it because we reach new fans, you know, so it's a blessing for us. And we've had some growth there recently, and this next song, which we like never really play live because we're usually rocking out, this is our top song on Spotify. So the song called Western Sky. On the western sky, look at all the colors that are in your eyes, that there's that shine I've been seeing in you. Now that you notice it ain't just right, there's a poison in the air and you're breathing it right. I bet you didn't know that they were gunning for you. It's a little ditty, it's a little song. Thank you. tactile. I use my body like a magnet, ascending and descending through the octaves of existence. What the hell does that mean, Sakina? Where do you go? I wanna know who meets you. Really wanna know, Sakina. Where do you go? I wanna know your nature. I really wanna know, Sakina. Where do you go? I wanna know who meets you. Really wanna know, Sakina. Where do you go? I wanna know your nature. I really wanna know, Sakina.
Wow. All right.
How about that bass solo, y'all? This guy.
Dan.
Travis.
Dan, I intentionally gave you a taller stool.
Oh, thank you.
I thought it would look kind of funny.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it would kind of elevate your status.
I feel like you have a short stool.
I specifically grabbed a short stool, yeah.
You need a different stool, or feel like you're good?
I kind of like looking up at you.
Okay.
It's like you're on like a little bit of a pedestal. The hierarchy is well established. Dan, let's get into some stuff. Real simply, where did you grow up? Where'd you come up?
I grew up in Maryland, actually, in southern Maryland.
Awesome.
Right on the Chesapeake Bay. I've spent the first 18 years of my life there. Just a bunch of tobacco fields, and got into a lot of trouble as a teenager. You know?
Let me ask you, did you eat a lot of blue crabs?
I had some. You know, I wasn't crazy enough. I wasn't a super huge seafood fan when I was a kid. So
I was going to ask if you ate the crab mustard or if you scraped it out.
I feel like I've scraped it out.
You probably should. Yeah, that's the correct answer.
Yeah, I would eat that.
Because you know what the mustard is, right? It ain't mustard.
DMI.
What is your first musical memory?
So when I was in elementary school,
nice.
We did these like plays, right? Like, it was like fourth or fifth grade, and we did the play Rooster, and I was like, I was Rooster in the play Annie. So
Rooster
that's actually
Annie.
My first. That was when I realized that I was like into singing. At a very young age. So.
Singing with a bunch of kids in a play.
Yeah, I was also a kid. So.
It's definitely more appropriate that way.
Yes, much more so.
So then how did you get into making music, making your own music?
I got into some trouble when I was a teenager. Nice. And I had these uncles that were huge music fans, and they both played instruments, and one of them like really took me under his wing, and I remember staying up one night learning to play 12-bar blues until like 3 a.m. with them.
Yes.
I was like 14 years old, and after that night, I was totally hooked on playing guitar, and I was a huge, this was like early mid-90s, so maybe dating myself, but huge grunge fan. So I was really into the grunge bands, man. So that was kind of how it started. Yeah.
And did you always? When did you start creating your own original music?
Right around that time, actually.
Really?
Yeah, I was writing. We had a band. We used to play in the basement of this pizza place in Maryland there.
Awesome.
And we would we'd make our own flyers and like put them up all around the high school, and everybody's mom and dad would drop them off, you know, and it got crazy, man. We were like crowd surf. I remember one time they pulled down all the ceiling tiles, and it was like a whole thing. But we lived for that, you know, even as teenagers. We loved it.
That, no wonder you're still a musician. Do you think there'll be some crowd surfing tonight?
Could get crazy. Let's do it.
I'm pretty sure if I was going to surf, I'd surf right down that section right there.
Get ready, you guys, for the second set.
What is the creative process like for you? How, just in a nutshell, sort of how do ideas come about and how do you bring them into form?
Yeah, man, for me, I hear melodies like in my head typically when I'm really into meditation, so I'm like a daily meditator. So sometimes they come to me during meditation, and a lot of times it'll just be when I'm falling asleep at night, and I'll literally like hear something in my head like a melody. So I have to usually have the energy to get up and pick up my phone and, you know, try to hum it into the phone. Sometimes it sound next day you listen and it's like, what is this? It doesn't even sound like anything. And then sometimes you're like, oh shit, like that's a nice melody right there. So that's how a lot of it works for me. Also just playing guitar and just kind of free form in the moment with playing, and sometimes the riff will come about, you know? So that's kind of, yep, that's the creative process for me. And just like leave yourself open to letting the ideas come in, you know?
Yeah, I kind of had a feeling you were going to bring it around to that word, to that sense of openness and availability. That's really cool.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're conduits, Travis, you know? We're holding down a vibe, and we're pulling the songs and the music from the ethers and building the community, you know, the best we can. And that's kind of the work, right?
That's the work. I love it. So speaking of vibes, 432 hertz.
Yeah.
I don't know if everyone is familiar with this, but you've worked a little bit in that. And we talked about it in rehearsal, how you've tried to play at that frequency. You want to sort of explain this to
I'll the, do my I'll do
just
my
like
best.
A simple explanation of what we're talking about.
I mean,
about.
Well, I would start by saying like everything is frequency, right? They say that everything's frequency, and there are certain frequencies that are more perfect than other frequencies, and there's a whole study about it. I think it was actually Pythagoras, right? Like if you walk into the Moog Museum or whatever store. You walk in there, it's all these books about that. And so it's all about finding the, what they call like music of the spheres. And there's these very perfect frequencies, right? And so I kind of got into that. There's also something called cymatics. Maybe you've heard of that. But it's how much time do you guys have?
I mean, not a ton, but this is the juice right here, man. This is the juice.
Not a ton. Well, cymatics is frequencies taking form. Different frequencies create geometrical patterns. So certain frequencies create perfect snowflakes, so to speak. And then 440, which is what we tune standard instruments to, it's like asymmetrical.
Right.
So it doesn't really create perfect form. So it's kind of crazy. So we were like, what if we did a whole album that we tune our guitars to 432? And that was Songs for the Universe.
But it's not Songs for the Stage because it's incredibly
not.
Hard.
That's what we learned.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what you learned, right? Because the instruments are built and to be tuned to 440.
Yep.
Which
what they call equal temperament.
Yeah, and this is an interesting thing if you want to dive into it, the history of when that changed and speculation about reasons why. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we're all functioning in the Western world. All these instruments are made, and all the string tension, all of that is designed to work at 440. And so when you tune to 432, the instruments themselves don't quite function correctly, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, you can kind of get there with it, but kind of like the more you kind of go up the fretboard and more chords you play, yeah, it doesn't really stay in tune, you know? So it wasn't super practical over the years, like touring like that. But it was great to make an album like that. I think a lot of, you know, like DJ music and the rise of like EDM and things, I know they're using very particular frequencies like that. And that's why the kids are going and having these experiences, you know.
That's why it works.
It clearly works. So.
Combined with other things.
Yep.
When you combine frequencies with other things,
yeah.
It's amazing what you can do.
It's gonna happen.
So, you know, you're, and I alluded to it earlier, your music, and of course, look, when I say your, I do want to acknowledge that the Danger Muffin is a band and that you all play together. And you also do some things outside of Danger Muffin. But again, it's impractical to try to talk about some of this deeper stuff with three individuals or a whole band. So I have to single you out. But always when we're talking about your music, we're talking about this band, Danger Muffin, primarily. When I say your music feels good, Danger Muffin feels good, it's not like... One thing I love about your music is that you don't sort of complicate it for the sake of being complicated. And the melodies and the tones are all just like very pleasing. The sound of your voice, the tones of your guitars. Is this like an intentional thing, or is this just what happens when Danger Muffin is Danger Muffining?
I think it's maybe both, you know. I think it's intentional, and then it's also I mean, music, again, like I said, I think music for me, it like saved my life. So every time I'm able to like create and to be here performing and connecting and community and writing music, you know, it's it's a joyous experience, you know. It's hopeful, it's healing for me, and I think for everybody in Danger Muffin. And we've connected with so many people over the years that, you know, I think maybe I'm on a tangent, but, you know, maybe the most important, the highest calling of an artist is to help people heal. And it's like, you know, you meet somebody who's like, oh, I lost my father, like, and this album, like, got me through it. It's someone you never would have met otherwise. And it's like, there's nothing better than that, you know? So I think that healing aspect, you know, for me, we take those stories with us, we carry that with us. And also I would say the band was born on Folly Beach. So it's the healing vibes of that like magical place. That's where it started from, you know. And I don't think we'll ever shake that off, and we don't want to, you know. We love the mountains too. That's a whole other energy, it's a whole other beautiful, the ocean and the mountains is, you know, beautiful stuff. So we kind of draw on that for sure.
That's really cool. When you're performing for an audience or performing with your band, where is your attention?
Hoping we don't mess up. and then having a joyous energy, a joyous vibe. I mean, really, just it's joy. I mean, there's so much crap in the world, right? And we're all fighting our own battles and our own struggles, and the music should be there to come together and just be happy and be putting out a joyful vibe, you know? Yeah. And I think it starts with us on stage, right? Like we're up here, we're having fun, and that's the whole point, right? And that's the stuff, and then it kind of resonates out, you know? And everybody vibes, and we all vibe together, and that's the beauty of it.
That's so well put. That's so well put. One of the ways that you've you know, for a lot of musicians I know and songwriters, it's you know, your career and the way you make ends meet and the way you reach people is not one dimensional. There's a variety of ways you do it. And am I correct in saying that you do some work in like film and television?
We do, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you do that. You like go out. You work on the West Coast, right? In mm-hmm. a totally different place. You go to LA and you do a thing there.
Yeah, it's a crazy.
What's that like?
It's surreal. I mean, it's surreal. A crazy long story, but one of our really good friends, that Mikey, guitar player Mikey, and I lived with in Charleston for 10 years. He got into the movie business, and we started this little production company called Morning Moon Productions, and this was a few years ago. And it's crazy connection. So we like read scripts, and we have like a bunch of projects in development. We put out a film a couple years ago that premiered at TIFF in Toronto called Wildflower, and it's on Hulu. Came out of Hulu last June, and it was like Gene Smart and Kiernan Shipka. It's crazy. So we did a lot of the, we're learning a lot about like music supervision and how to like build soundtracks in movies. And then we're writing songs for the film. And so just doing everything that we can, learning everything we can, soaking it up.
That's so cool. Good luck with all of that.
Thank you.
Because that is such
it's going well. Yeah.
That is such an interesting world. And anytime I encounter a musician who's finding some way other than just playing gigs to reach people and to pay the mortgage, I think it's so amazing. So congratulations on finding your path, man.
Thank you.
Because that mortgage is
it's always there.
All right, we're not quite to the lightning round, but we are. You can speed these up a little bit, but you don't have to. What is the best advice you've ever received?
You know, just do what you love. I mean, we've all heard this one. Do what you love, and you'll never work a day in your life.
I like that. That is really good advice.
Yeah, it's great. It stuck with me.
What advice would you give to your 15-year-old self?
Do what you love, and you'll never have to work a day in your life.
Yeah, you're good. You're good. That's legit.
I would say.
If you could do one thing differently, what would it be?
I don't really know. Right. I feel like I'm right there.
That's the best answer to that question.
That's a tough one. Yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't answer that one. That's why I'm glad you didn't ask me. all right. Thank you all so much for listening. You've been very patient. And Dan, you've been a fantastic guest. I feel like I wish I had more questions. But we do have a lightning round. So are you ready? Dogs or cats?
Dogs.
Acoustic or electric?
Acoustic.
Uphill or downhill?
Uphill.
Mountains or sea?
Sea. Sorry.
Don't apologize. It's the great green mother of us all. Stones or Zeppelin?
Zeppelin.
My man. Rivers or lakes?
Rivers.
Favorite city?
Favorite city. Oh, I don't like cities.
Great answer. None of the above.
None.
Okay, and everyone's favorite question, what color is your front door?
White-ish.
White-ish. Is that because it's like painted off white or because
it's
needs to be
chipping.
Painted?
It's kind of chipping. I have to kind of repaint it.
So well seasoned.
I'll get back to you.
All right. Two more questions. What are you afraid of?
Oh, my gosh. The dark when I was younger, but not anymore.
You're not afraid of anything anymore.
I mean, I probably am, but I'm maybe afraid of answering that question. I'm afraid of that question, Travis.
All right. And then finally, what is it that makes you happy?
Music.
That's Dan Lotti, everyone. Let's get the band back together.
Give it up for Travis, you guys. It's amazing.
Thank you.
If you're enjoying the show with Dan Lotti, check out episode 30 with Ed Jurdy, episode 19 with Chris Jacobs, or episode 8 with the Steep Canyon Rangers, Barrett Smith, and Mike Gugino. Thanks for listening, and after the show, be sure to leave a rating and review. Now back to the show.
Travis on the three-part harmony. So much. Thank you. Talking about the songwriting process, this song came together a couple years ago on like a voice memo. A lot of times I was, just to continue the question a little bit there, Travis, songwriting process.
Yeah.
A lot of times I like sing gibberish, like doesn't even make any sense, you know, and like my voice memos. And in the middle of doing that, this song, like the chorus especially, like came right out at that moment. Just like the timing of it, the pacing, just like appeared in this voice memo. And then we developed it with Danger Muffin, and it's on the latest record. It's actually the most played song so far on the album, a song called I Will Never Forget.
Thank you. cannot remember, but I will never forget. I cannot remember, still I will never forget you, forget you.
Thank you so much, you guys. This is so much fun. So Mike wrote the music for this one way back in the day. I remember sitting at our house on 212 East Arctic Avenue, looking at the ocean, writing this song with Mikey. He's like, I got this lick. Let's put this song together. And we've probably played it 6,000 times since then. It's a song called Big Suit. Thank you.
This has been the Travis Book Happy Hour Podcast. Thanks for listening. Huge thanks to Dan Lottie, Mike Savilli, Andrew Hendricks, Thompson Guitars, Americana Vibes, 185 King Street, and the Bluegrass Situation. If you're enjoying the podcast, please subscribe and leave a positive review. It really helps us out. You can find us on Instagram and Facebook at the Travis Book Happy Hour and online at thetravisbookhappyhour.com. And remember, it's okay to be happy.